this, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Have you figured it out yet, folks? Have all the events surrounding Syria unfolded before you like a poorly written dime novel? It never was about chemical weapons. It always was about backing what no sane person would want to back. The terrorist-backed rebels. It was about a misguided, misplaced, miselected president who was seeing so much slip through his fingers. At Drive Time, the American Adversaries will get the real story you need to hear. Lair Adams with you as Vladimir Putin saves the world from American aggression. Now, can you imagine any president comfortable with that? But Barack is so comfortable, he's got his blankie and his teddy all ready to take a nap on the big bear's lap. My co-host has a bedtime story for Barack. But I'm afraid it's a nightmare, Christopher Hart!
No, it's meant to give him nightmares. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Thank you for being with us here on 660 WORL. And don't forget, folks, if you happen to miss one of our shows, you can always go to our website and hear replays of our past shows, and that's at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and just click on the archive button. And we are live as usual on this beautiful turning to fall
day, Chris.
Day in Central Florida. Absolutely. We welcome your calls at 407-774-8255. Our producer, Nostradamus, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. But until then, it's going to be just us guys. So I hope you'll follow along and enjoy the show. We will be talking about Syria there momentarily. We'll also be later on talking about a couple of other things when Nostradamus joins us. One thing that I found particularly interesting was evidently there's a diary that has just been produced. Dennis will fill us in on the details from Robert Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., and in it, and I wasn't aware, I didn't know this, but he spent a month in a Puerto Rican jail because he and some others were down there protesting. And once again, Dennis will fill us in. But he also had some dealings, evidently, with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and did not have high regard for them. Let's just put it that way. So, as I said, we'll talk about that later on when Nostradamus joins us. But yeah, let's go ahead and go to this Syria thing. You know, overnight it began to look more and more like Barack Obama, Gumby, had stumbled into some sort of solution via a supposed off-the-cuff remark.
Oh, that's right, Governor John, I'm sorry, comedian Jim Carrey.
Yeah. And
big mouth.
Now, of course, Barack Obama is claiming that he and Putin talked about it ahead of time.
Oh, yeah, we already worked this out.
Hence, his flexibility is a remarkable, as Gumby has it on display. But there also may be an element in all of this of Inspector Clouseau. Do you remember Inspector Clouseau, Peter Sellers,
yes,
the Pink Panther?
Clouseau.
Yeah, the dim-witted, you know, bumbling, stumbling, literally detective who always somehow seemed to stumble into the right answer. And that may be what has happened today. I don't know. It's hard to tell with this crowd. One thing we do know is that we're not being told the truth. That's about all we can say for sure. But certainly...
Putin is holding all the cards, Chris, because he knows everything. But, he's the only one that knows everything besides Barack.
Well, he knows more than Barack Obama knows because he knows what's going on in Syria much more, I'm sure. In a sense, it's working out just as we have said on this show over and over again with Barack Obama's foreign policy. Three-tiered approach, first tier, first stage, you ignore the problem, you hope it goes away, you just let it fester. Second stage is when you can no longer do that, then you make it up as you go along. And literally, that's what we see. Either they are very good at being deceptive, or they really are just making this up as it goes along. And certainly, that's what it appears to be.
50 different plans on the attack of Syria.
And that's so far. And so, you know, the Syrians, if they're smart, they keep shuffling and juking and jiving. They're not just going to sit down and wait.
Well, because we'll tell them exactly what we're doing.
But we're not the only ones noticing this. And then the third stage is claim any victories as your own. And certainly that's what Barack Obama is doing here. Now, oddly enough, though, in claiming that victory, he's in a way making a huge admission. And I'll get to that in just a minute. I want to go back to stage two, though, because I flipped over this morning to catch MSNBC, you know, to see what the other side was saying. And they are not at all happy with President Obama. And whether they know it or not, they recognize stage two. Here's a comment. This was from John Heilman this morning on MSNBC. He's talking about the administration. See if this doesn't sound familiar.
This guy's really left, too, Chris.
Oh, yeah, way out there. He says, everyone is improvising, making it up on the fly. That's exactly what we've been saying for years. He's making it up as he goes.
Yeah,
right?
MSNBC can turn that around and say, that's a good thing, Chris.
No, he was not saying that's a good thing. The frustration was quite clear. At another point, he said, it looks like more like stumbling into a diplomatic solution rather than steering one. Once again, you know, bumbling along, just making it up as you go, grabbing whatever victory you can and holding it up, hoisting it up and claiming it as your own.
I thought stumbling and bumbling were words to describe George Bush, although he got stuff done.
Yeah. And then, but they were shooting down the administration argument saying, oh yeah, right. Kerry is speaking, as they put it, rhetorically, and now they're claiming this. So it was a joy to watch this, and temporary though it may be. The best moment came though when, and I forget her name, I meant to write it down and I didn't, so I'm not going to even guess at it, but she was on, it was not Mika, it was another young lady who was part of the morning crowd there this morning, and they had Jay Carney on for a couple of minutes. You know, the White House spokesman.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes out and starts going down this whole, you know, spiel, the latest spiel. And this.
Oh,
one,
we know all about this.
This one girl was basically pressing him, you know, how come the story keeps changing out of the White House? And then Carney says this. Well, this is a complicated issue. She immediately cut him off and she said, no, wait a minute. That's what you say when you think people are stupid. We get complicated. We get nuanced. Are you going to take responsibility? She's telling Jay Carney for straightening out the White House's message. It was beautiful to watch.
How did he stumble through that, Chris?
He said yes. I don't think he realized the position that she had put him in. Because she said yes. In essence, he admitted everything that she was charging him with, which is that they, you know, there was no straight message, there was no straight answer coming out of the White House to this day, to this moment. And he admitted to that and said he was going to do something about it, but that's about as far as it went. So it was...
So there's still no straight answer. That's the cool part.
Right, right. So...
Ever from this White House.
And so, but, you know, now... The liberal mainstream media are, you know, they're mad about it because they didn't think that this guy, Mr. Obama, was ever going to do it. And he probably never had any intention of lighting off a strike on Syria. That's why he stopped it in midstream and turned to Congress. All right? And here's an interesting thing. The more congressional people meet with Kerry and Obama himself and hear their arguments, the less they support it. In other words, when groups of congressmen go and meet with these people, they come away more of them now saying no than yes.
Well, you understand the hamstring here, Chris. Now, if he says, okay, all right, we won't attack, you know, we're going to go ahead and let Assad give the weapons of mass destruction to Russia, he basically is hamstrung America from doing anything in Syria. Now, we can't go back up those other guys, you know, and help them on the ground because we worked this out diplomatically. And I'm sorry, he's really basically boxed himself right out of the picture.
Let's see what the deal looks like first, okay? There is no deal right now. As a matter of fact, the Russians, there was supposed to be an emergency security council meeting today, and the Russians doing this and the Russians doing that. All that's been canceled. Okay, there's no deal on the table other than
nothing
this
probably will be done.
This rhetorical, you know, idea of, you know, the chemical weapons being taken over by the international community. In the meantime, it has slowed the whole thing down now. Harry Reid, even before this, had put off the vote in the Senate tomorrow because they did not have the votes to win. This is looking extremely bad for the president, which once again makes you wonder, you know, maybe he's up to something else, because generally his political instincts are pretty sound. But he has gotten this one totally wrong. He has extremely his base extremely upset with him. And now they're going to look a little askance at everything he does, I believe, going forward. So this has been a seminal moment, not only in the history of the United States and for temporary speaking, our status in the world, but it is a huge seminal moment in the Obama presidency. And it is not a good one. It is definitely a bad one. Okay, we'll go ahead and go to the break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Once again, you folks can join us as well at 407-774-8255. And we'll be right back. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time.
Hey, folks, I'm Lair Adams, sitting here talking to Ed Roxy of Roxy Pacifics. Let me ask you a question, buddy. What is Roxy Pacifics?
Roxy Pacific is a kelp water that clears acne and eczema.
Wow, that's incredible. Does it have any side effects?
There's absolutely no side effects. All of its natural minerals are vitamin B1, B2, B3, B5, and B6, omega-3, magnesium. It's a perfect fit for skin.
Here in Florida, a lot of people have problems with sunburn, especially summertime. How is this on sunburn?
It works immediately. If you have a sunburn, you spray this on. Within seconds, the burn goes away.
We do have a lot of poison ivy and poison oak, and I understand it's great for that.
Oh, yeah, I just got a call about that one right there. It says it soothes the poison ivy. It's an antibacterial, an anti-inflammatory. It pulls the heat away from the skin.
Thanks so much, Ed. Folks, you can get yours at RoxyPacifics.net. That's Roxy, R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X on the end, or call 619-654-4829. Roxy Pacifics.
News Talk 660, WORL, Time Saver Traffic.
This update is brought to you by Rawlings College Hamilton Holt School. We are dealing with delays on I-4 westbound near the 408. To stop and go traffic, I-4 eastbound between Orange Blossom Trail and Colonial Drive. Your expressways throughout the Orlando area checking in accident-free. Rawlings College offers top-ranked degree programs for traditional students and working adults. Learn why Rawlings is still the best college in Florida at rawlings.edu. That's your Orlando area traffic.
Yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, it's me. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page. The king of Bada Big. The master of the diamond cutter. The three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Drive Time. And that's not a bad thing.
That's a very good thing. We are the American Adversaries. Folks, you are listening to our special Drive Time show, heard Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 o'clock. And on Sunday nights, we have our three-hour tour, 5 to 8 o'clock. I'm Larry Adams here with my co-host, Christopher Hart. And, of course, we're talking about just a little bitty problem in the world called Syria. And nobody seems to have the right answers to this problem, right, Chris? Maybe a character, a children's character like Gumby would. Oh, Gumby would get on Pokey and right to the rescue, right?
Well, he's just trying to show too much flexibility. That's part of the president's problem. certainly, you know,
lead from the horses behind.
Well, you know, there is a solution to this problem, and part of, but that entails a whole nother problem. And we're going to be talking about this a little bit more in depth with Colonel McKnight, Danny McKnight, when he joins us Thursday.
Thursday, folks.
The solution to this problem is have the United States of America go in there and clean them out. And that, of course, would require several hundred thousand ground troops and a massive air campaign and naval campaign. But that would be the way to do it right, and that's how you solve the problem. Now, we're not willing to do that, obviously, and unfortunately may not even be capable of doing it.
Okay, Chris, let me ask you this question. Maybe this will put a crux to it. What is the problem in Syria? Syria is a country that's been doing fine. Now, they have this rebel uprising. What makes us get into this problem?
Well, the problem...
Where's our pony in this game?
All right. You've asked a myriad of questions in your one question. Let me just say this. We also said on our Sunday night show that there was another solution to this and that Barack Obama could have approached it when he was in Russia for the G20 summit, and that is he should have pulled Putin aside, stuck his finger in Putin's chest, and said, I'm holding you responsible, sport. Because they're your ally. You're the ones who are supplying them. You're the ones who are backing them up. So if you don't want financial aid and everything that good comes from the United States coming to you, get cut off, you do something about this, and I mean right now. Now, that's one way to approach this problem. Okay, obviously, this president doesn't have either the sense or the courage or what the desire, whatever, to do anything like that. Okay? Now, to get to your point, what's the problem in Syria? The main problem is it's sectarian violence, which is what's going on all across the Middle East. In Iraq, sectarian violence. Libya, sectarian violence. Egypt, sectarian violence. And when I say sectarian violence, I'm talking about two religious sects of the Muslim faith, Shia and Sunnis. It's a 1,600-year-old feud being played out in modern times with modern weapons. Other than that, it is nothing new. Okay? Why did it flare up in Syria? Because of the gains that were made by the Brotherhood in Libya and Egypt. They're feeling their oats. They want to spread the good word, if you will, right? And spreading the good word means eliminating Shia-led governments. That's why the Sunnis are trying to bring down the Shia-led government in Iraq. That's why the Sunnis are trying to bring down the Shia-led government in Syria. That's why they did bring down the governments in Egypt and Libya, which were not so much Shia, but were more secular, if you will.
But again, what's our bonus here? I mean, personally, I don't necessarily care if these people kill each other off. Why are we...
Well,
you know,
presumably that's what's been going on for the last two
yeah.
and a half years, and the president was fine with that, too. So, yeah, what is going on here now? Your guess is as good as mine, other than that this president is either, once again, incredibly stupid or incredibly devious. Perhaps in history will eventually tell us. But the bottom line right now is, as this is being played out in front of us, it has all the earmarks of a man who does not know what he is doing. Even if he may have some devious plan, it does not seem like he really knows how to carry it out.
Day to day, yeah.
Right, other than if that plan is to weaken the United States on the world stage and make it a second-tier player. He is doing very well at that. The defense cuts that he has implemented are devastating our ability to do things like this, all right? And so going forward, he also, in all of this fall to raw, he seems to be trying to set precedents or standards of acting, if you will, for those presidents who are going to follow him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be expanding the executive power in the domestic area, but shrinking executive power in foreign policy. What has always been the Republicans' real strong suit, foreign policy.
Yeah.
All right. Even though they've been excellent in domestic issues as well, they've always really been able to sell themselves on foreign policy. He's trying to weaken this country in a number of different ways. This is nothing new. Madeleine Albright complained during the Clinton administration when she was Secretary of State that, you know, there should not be a lone superpower. In other words, the United States should not be what the United States is. So the liberal idea that the United States shouldn't be the top dog is nothing, you know, new to unique to President Obama. He has just been able to finally do something about it. All right. See, Bill Clinton kind of wanted to do something about it, but he also saw the advantages of having a strong military in the world, right? See, Bill Clinton is he believes and he spews the rhetoric, but then on the other side, he understands the goodness that comes out of capitalism and the goodness that comes out of having a real strong, capable military. All right. Okay, let's go to Eva, and then we'll be taking the break. And once again, we'll accept more phone calls, and Nostra Dennis will join us when we come back. Eva, thank you for calling this afternoon.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you guys are the experts. Isn't it just around the time of year that we lost our embassy over there? I forget.
You mean Benghazi?
Yes.
Yeah, tomorrow is the 1-year anniversary.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, we'll be talking about that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's why he's doing the Syria mess.
Well, there is that theory that this is diversion.
I think it is, because knowing Obama, he doesn't have the oomph to think of anything.
Well,
if
that's the case, I think that it has backfired, though, because this only has brought, actually, I think, more attention, you know, to his other foreign policy decisions, because it so clearly looks to everyone as he's dithering, as he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he's making this up as he goes along. What did the guy say this morning? Making it up on the fly.
Yeah, his numbers are dropping, Chris.
Dropping like a rock. So we'll see, Eva. Thanks for your call. I appreciate you being out there. Diversion, possibly, but it sure is coming at a high price.
Absolutely, folks. We have no idea what this president is doing, and neither does he. But we do.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It is totally safe for kids, pets, and yourself. Do yourself a favor, RoxyPacifics.net. Now here's Christopher Hart with Ted Boger of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, once again, thanks for being with us today. So do we have a deal or not? What's going on with this Syria situation?
Well, Syria is interesting because, as you know, Obama has been so adamant about attacking, and I say attacking in my words, but making some sort of strike over there. And the community, the international community, asked Kerry, What would it take for the United States not to strike? And he said, well, if they put their chemical weapons under international control, then we would consider it. Well, honestly, that's the complete opposite of what Obama was talking about. But immediately the international community, including the UN and Russia, said, great idea. Let's do it. And Syria has now responded and said, yes, we will turn over our chemical weapons to the UN or to whomever their representative is.
And does this really provide us with a solution, or is this just another twist in the whole sordid affair, so to speak?
Well, honestly, it's just another twist, Chris, because Obama really wants to make some sort of strike. If he doesn't make a strike, then he looks bad internationally, which, honestly, he does in general. Everyone is questioning his authority and his ability. And so it just doesn't make any sense for us to make an attack at this point. But he has to sidestep because Kerry offered this up, and now everyone in the international community is saying, yes, this is the route. Let's not go to war.
And as during this whole process, there has not been one bit of clarity.
There is no clarity, honestly, in anything Obama does domestically or internationally. And the problem is that Assad has said, this was not done by me. And the international community is saying, look, we found chemical weapons, but we're not sure if Assad did it. And so there's no clarity anywhere. And why Obama is trying to make a big issue out of this, again, crossing the red line that he likes to refer to or blame other people for, just doesn't make any sense.
Well, you won't get any sense or any clarity out of the White House, but you'll find lots of it at soundbiterx.com. Thanks, Ted Bogert, for being with us tonight. Once again,
thank you,
folks,
Chris.
Go to soundbiterx.com to get the whole story, the complete story. We'll be right back.
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
And it is drive time, and we are live. 407-774-8255 is that number. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams in the studio with you. We've got our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, on the line. Before I want to go to him, though, I want to tell you what I think has really got the libs mad. You know, they're acting like they're mad because Barack Obama wanted to go to war or something like that. Who knows what. But really what they're mad about, and I first saw hints about this over, I think, over the weekend, and I can't remember if it was USA Today or the New York Times. Mm-hmm. One of those news publications, though, they did an article talking about how all this focus now on Syria is draining the president's ability to get his domestic agenda pushed forward, which, of course, includes immigration reform, gun control. And this is what they're – and now today there's also another article in the Wall Street Journal, the same thing, entitled Discord Over Military Strike Imperils President's Agenda. Not only is it stealing time away from Congress to have to debate this and deal with it, but the divisions – that he is creating in his own party over all of this is going to make it much more difficult, this article is saying, going forward to get his domestic agenda passed. And once again, another echo of the American Adversaries who said, you know, for months, even before the election, that President Obama, were he to be reelected, would find his biggest political problems are going to come from his own policy, his own party. And in this case, it is his own policy in terms of Syria that is creating the discord that is going to be lasting, and it's going to be deep. And he is going to now find himself being held over a barrel a lot more than he is used to. Let me just say that. So in that sense, this is a positive side effect of what's going on. I think another positive side effect of what's going on is people beginning to realize this man's capability to handle foreign affairs. Isn't that right, Nostra Dennis?
Not so good.
Yeah. Nostra Dennis, over at headquarters, what are the polls telling us about all this?
Oh, boy, let me get you a hot, fresh new poll from the New York Times. And this has taken the last couple of days, telephone interviews with over 1,000 adults, not registered voters, not likely voters, just adults. And they have what sounds like opposite things to say, but it kind of makes sense in this bizarro world, okay? This question, do you think the U.S. should or should not take the leading role among all countries in the world in trying to solve international conflicts? By a 2-to-1 margin, most Americans say, no, we should not. Should the U.S. try to change a dictatorship to a democracy where it can, or should the U.S. stay out of other countries' affairs? By a nearly 5-to-1 margin, stay out of other countries' affairs. And finally, do you think the Obama administration has clearly explained what the U.S.'s goals are in Syria, or have not done that yet? By a 6-to-1 margin, they say he has not.
Well, I think that there's pretty much agreement in those poll numbers. The first one I find troubling. The second one I'm not surprised, nor the third.
It seems that with this president, most Americans want America to be more isolationist because they think it's going to get screwed up.
Well, I have to say, and part of this does go back to the experience in Iraq. Certainly the Democrats, didn't waste any time trashing the former President Bush and his policy in Iraq and everything that went wrong in Iraq they highlighted. But I will also say this. I do not believe that the President Bush fought that war in the traditional sense and that he did not explain to the American public effectively enough what we were really up against and how he had to go about dealing with it.
Obama gets his chance to do that tonight. We'll see what he does.
Yeah, we'll see what he does. By the way, speaking of that speech tonight, one thing I want you guys to look for if you watch it, and that is his use of what I'm calling the girly fist. All right. Now, he's always been one very good to use his mannerisms, his body language in particular, his hand motions, his hand gestures as he makes speeches. And when he talks economics a lot. He'll hold out like his thumb and his forefinger as though he's making it like an inch. You know, he's showing you what an inch is or something, and he's sort of a little claw-like thing. And it's an effective tool to use as you're trying to make a point about certain things. But as all during this Syria thing, he's been making what I call a girly fist. It's a fist that he makes generally with his left hand, where he's kind of pushing his thumb forward into his forefinger. And it's not really it's not a fist that you would want to punch anybody with.
I think, you'd break your thumb if you did that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's, when you gotta hit somebody with that.
Even the body language is coming out that this guy is a weak pushover.
A girly man. Fist.
He's a girly man. And once again, his approval numbers in terms of handling this
those are pretty curly, man.
they have gone in the toilet, haven't they, Dennis?
They really have. How concerned are you about U.S. military action in Syria, killing or harming innocent civilians? From the same Times poll, by a 3-1 margin, people are very concerned as opposed to not at all. How concerned are you that the military action will be long and costly involvement, 66-21%, very concerned.
Yeah, and obviously the president's message has not gotten through, and anybody I think would be hard-pressed to even say what the president's message is. As we were talking with Ted Boger, the soundbite guys, there's no clarity at all in any of this. If anything, there is every bit of the lack of clarity. Sometimes it seems by design. But, when you don't know where you're going, how can you go out there and say where you're going?
Chris, I'm going to be watching tonight for that thumb and forefinger thing because, you know, John Kerry said that the strike would be unbelievably small. That might be what Obama's referring to, at least. I hope that's what he's referring to when he holds his fingers like that.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the little claw type thing. That you're going to see the girly fist tonight. You're going to see his little girly fist.
Guys, I got to give credit to Glenn Beck. His people this morning, they were doing a Seinfeld routine and all this, and they were talking about this strike would be so small. It was like, how small was it, of course? And he says, no, this will not be reminiscent of Genghis Khan. This would be reminiscent of Shaka Khan.
Yeah.
Okay, Shaka Khan's second cousin, because Shaka Khan was too big for this, even.
Yeah. One thing I do think that this has shown up is the blatant hypocrisy of these so-called peaceniks like John Kerry, like Barack Obama, you know, who are trotting out arguments worthy of the Bush administration as they seek to mount a military strike rather than, you know, exhausting diplomatic options before they even consider such a thing. It's fascinating to watch.
Well, Chris, let me give you one exception to that. I will give Code Pink lots of credit for their consistency. They were picketing outside Dianne Feinstein's offices and her home against the war.
Yeah, and a few of them stood up and made a little show of it last week in the hearings when John Kerry and Chucky Hagel were
and
testifying.
What was the reaction, you know, from these guys that had been backed by Code Pink all this time? It was total disdain.
Well, yeah, I think John Kerry took the opportunity to hold himself up as self-righteous and, you know, sacrosanct and sanctimonious, if you will. He never misses an opportunity to do that. But, yeah, there is some consistency out of them. There's consistency out of a few people in Hollywood. Ed Asner, for one, has been rather vocal about this. But I think most of them are perplexed and don't want to speak out because, you know, they understand.
That's their boy.
He's their guy. So, once again, I don't think that this is any sort of near resolution, though. If there is anything going to come out of this deal that John Kerry or whoever thought up, it's going to take a good while for that to gel and come together. So the distraction, if you will, is going to go forth. But nonetheless, we will tomorrow talk about Benghazi because it will be the 1-year anniversary since that tragic evening.
Isn't tomorrow another anniversary?
Well, 9/11, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be talking about that during tomorrow's show. Nostradamus, I also saw that poll numbers of people, the more they hear the president's argument, the less they support it. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, and it's bizarre. In fact, you had reported here on Salem Radio a couple days ago that every day since the 28th of last month, support for any kind of intervention at all has steadily gone down among the public. And normally when things like this happen, when there's precursors of war, the public usually gets more and more inclined to side behind their commander-in-chief. In this case, it's exactly the opposite. People are peeling away from him on a daily, almost an hourly basis.
Well, the fascinating thing about that is one of the reasons why the public gels in support behind the president is usually they have the feeling that he knows what he's doing and that he's got a good reason to do it. I mean, every other president in recent history, at least, that has done such a thing, with the exception of Jimmy Carter with the attempted rescue of the hostages, which was a covert operation until it went bad. But every other president has come out and pretty effectively said to the American public and members of Congress what they were doing and why they were doing it. This guy who supposedly has the gift, you know, of convincing people to his point of view, sure has seemed to desert him in this case.
Well, it seems like, I know what I'm doing, don't worry, just let me do what I've got to do. The American public is not going to stand for that anymore.
No, and neither should they.
Well, guys, maybe we need a strong force here instead of a community organizer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And once again, this is a grand opportunity, and we have to look at this politically speaking, for Republicans to come up with somebody in contrast to this president.
Well, who's giving a response tonight? The Republican response? Rand Paul.
All right.
All right. Okay. When we come back, we'll finish up today's show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time. We are live, and we will be right back.
Don't take a bottle of water, Ran.
Hey, this is Johnny B. Badd, the Bad Man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
Okay, before we go on, I just want to remind you folks that this Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Faith Assembly Church, 9370 Curry Ford Road, that's out there by 436 and Curry Ford, they're going to have a job fair and business resource day. You're all welcome to be there. If you know someone who needs a job or you need another job or looking for something else, please go on out there. That's this Saturday from 9:30 to 3 at Faith Assembly Church, 9370 Curry Ford Road. It is free, of course. Come on out, and who knows, it could be a career change in your life this Saturday. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, and then we'll go back to Nostradamus because I want to talk about this RFK diary. But let's go to Rick, who would like to ask a question. Would we be for going into Syria if? Rick, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I have actually two things. If this were a Republican or Bush. I happen to be against the effort myself. I was against Iraq also. But
okay.
And this is a good question, Rick. I've thought it myself, too.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead and ask it.
Number one, this one of two, if this were Bush, would you be as critical of him as you are of Obama?
I think that President George W. Bush actually missed an opportunity, if you will, to really put a huge dent in all this terrorism stuff when we were in Iraq. If you recall, we were in Iraq for 10 years, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right, and on one side of Iraq is Iran, and on the other side of Iraq is Syria.
Right.
While we were fighting in Iraq, both Iran and Syria were committing acts of war against the United States by providing arms and militants into Iraq to kill American soldiers. Acts of war. President George W. Bush should have, at that time, taken advantage of that situation and taken out both of those countries. All right, now, to get to your question, now, if he had come up with the same sort of dilly-dallying plan of what Barack Obama is proposing, no, I would not be for it. As a matter of fact, my biggest criticism of George W. Bush in the Iraq War was not that we went in, but that we went in not prepared to dealing with winning.
Well, Well, I'm just afraid for Israel. That's my main reason I'm against
it. Oh, we agree. And frankly, yeah. Rick, I agree with you, too, because, no, I wouldn't have backed George Bush if he'd wanted to go there under this situation, because I don't see the pluses coming out of it. That's been the problem all along.
Yeah.
What is the plus here?
See, that's why I say Bush missed his opportunity. We had our military might right there. That would have been the time to take care of both Iran and Syria. And we had the provocation to do it. He just didn't make the case to the American public.
Well, a second question, if this were Bush or if this were a Republican, you had somebody on that really made me, my blood boil a couple of weeks ago, really made me angry. The Miami Dolphins, two of the players did not go to the White House.
Right.
Because
it was actually three of them, but go ahead.
Three of them? Oh,
yeah.
All right, because they didn't agree with the president's policies. Now, if they had done the same to Bush, would you have agreed with that?
Well, there have been those who did the same thing to George W.
Yeah, but you probably criticized them in that.
Well, we weren't on air at that time, so I don't know what I would have said. Certainly, I think in the end, I would have said, look, if they don't want to go see the president, that's their prerogative.
Yeah, but you see, the guest you had on, I don't know, it was a wrestler or somebody, was very critical at that point.
Well, he was highly, let's just say, that was Mike McBath, and
he was supportive.
He was highly supportive of the guys who did not go. He said, I don't think that they should feel obligated to go. If they didn't want to go, more power to them.
Yeah, but if it was Bush, I don't think he would have said it. That's what I'm saying. It's just everything is getting so partisan.
I don't think so.
I think that, you know, once again,
there's a portion of that. I agree with you, Rick.
Well, I don't.
I'm glad you two disagree for
sure. All right. Okay. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate you being out there. Okay. We appreciate that. Nostradamus, your thoughts on that?
What's that?
Your thoughts on, well, I tell you what, we only have a few minutes left. Let's go ahead and talk about this RFK Jr. Story. You know, Zimmerman's back in the news again. So, of course, this whole Trayvon Martin thing can't seem to go away. And two of the biggest players in the Trayvon Martin thing were Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. And Robert Kennedy Jr. had some interesting things to say about these guys.
And this is a great story because it gives me a chance to break up my wicked Boston accent. So RFK has a diary.
A diary? And,
the New York Post has put out some excerpts from that diary in which he says the following things about Sharpton, Jackson, and why not withdrawing Governor Cuomo. Well, let's see. Reverends Jackson and Sharpton, says RFK Jr., give me the creeps. Al Sharpton has done more damage to the black cause than George Wallace. He suffocated the decent black leaders in New York. He says about Reverend Al Sharpton, Sharpton is a buffoon who never escaped the stench of his advocacy for Tawana Brawley. He writes that Jesse Jackson has a desperate and destructive addiction to publicity. Whenever I'm with Jesse, I feel like it's all about Jesse. Even Mario Cuomo is not spared criticism. Cuomo, as you know, is the father-in-law of his sister, Kerry Kennedy. He was trying to get RFK out of spending prison time in Puerto Rico. As you know, they were protesting down there in 2001. Do you remember that?
He spent about a month there, didn't he?
Yeah. Spent a month on Vieques, the Puerto Rican island that the Navy was using as a bombing range. And so he says that he ripped Cuomo's judgment on the case, ultimately acknowledging that Cuomo had done a good job. But he has not really confined his vitriol to the left. He's got some bad things to say for people on the right, too.
Well, I don't know
what he says about George Bush, or are we out of time?
No, you got. Go ahead. Let's hear that one. For all fairness to Rick, who just called, let's hear that
all
one.
Right. I'll be quick.
Okay.
President George W. Bush, he says, is an idiot, a puppet, a simpleton who is promising revenge in a crusade by dropping million-dollar bombs on $10 houses in Kabul.
Sounds kind of like the guy that's in the White House right now, though, doesn't it? I'll say this, though. He's absolutely right about Al Sharpton, and he's absolutely right about Jesse Jackson. Both of these men have been the worst thing to happen to the black community since slavery, because they have held the black community back almost almost single-handedly.
There's a name for them, Chris. They're called carpetbaggers. Goes back to the Civil War, folks.
Well, if he can figure it out, hopefully a lot of other people will be able to figure it out, too. Obviously, though, it hasn't seemed to have gone much further than him. Where you said the Washington Post is printing this diary?
No, this is in the New York Post.
Oh, the New York Post. Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right. Okay. Once again, great work, Nostradamus.
And thank you. We did awesome.
All right, sir. And we'll be talking to you tomorrow night. That's our executive producer, Nostradamus, over at headquarters. Okay. I want to go to one last phone call this fella's been holding, and he wants to talk about something that I like talking about, too, and that's cloak and dagger things. Thanks for calling today, Rick.
Hey, guys.
Make it quick.
With all this stuff about Syria, nobody noticed that over the weekend, the Washington Post, you know, that right-wing rag, printed an article about how the administration admitted that the NSA is spying on American citizens and that the information can be collected not just for 5 years, but now for 6 years.
Yeah, and there was also a big story in the weekend edition of USA Today where they explained how the NSA has got sophisticated technology that can overcome pretty much any encryption device or any encryption codes that you have on your computer, and they have been using it quite effectively. Yep, that sort of thing we'll continue to talk about around here, Rick. We appreciate you being out there. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today.
That's right. Learn Cherokee or Navajo or something
there
else, folks.
There you go, like the World War II code guys.
That's right, but I'm sure they got that covered, too. Big Brother is watching.
He's everywhere.
But so are the American adversaries. And we'll be back tomorrow to watch over you. Have a great day.